Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Standing by strength of perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another India Morrell Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We have a few issues to go into tonight. Our first one will be Birth of a Nation, the film. The second one will be War on Police. And the third would be Trump. Yes, we're going to get into those situations. But first off, I guess I better say, firstly, concerning next Sunday, which will be what I call Thanksgiving weekend, so to speak. But anyway, Urban Society will not be aired at that point in time due to, family issues, family get-together issues. That's what I'll call that. I had another name for it before the show was starting, but that phrase had totally escaped me. Terrible. But anyway, I'm going to be having good times with the family for the Thanksgiving holiday. So therefore, again, Urban Society next week will not be aired. But we'll be back the following Sunday, which will be the 4th of December. Ooh, we're going into December already. God bless, time is moving. December, which means then December, January, February, March, 3 more months of winter. Yes, therefore 90 days. Sounds better saying 90 days and 3 months. Anyway, so moving right along, and I'll probably make that announcement again at the end of the show. I did so at the beginning because, you know, the way I get to talking, I may run out of time to have said all that. So moving right along. First off, I want to read off something into the show concerning the recent election, and it concerns the Electoral College, but more so it pertains to what's being called the popular vote. I guess one of the shows I'm going to do soon in the future is going to be on the Electoral College and the popular vote. Because right now these two things seem to be at odds with one another. And being that we are a democracy, it's supposed to be the majority rules. But I won't go too far into that, but I'll just go on into what I have here. It says here, part of this article says, Hillary Clinton popular vote lead over Donald Trump now exceeds 1.5 million. And the article goes on to say, it's been nearly 2 weeks since the November 8th general election, but the results have not remained static as ballots continue to be counted. While the number of votes for both President-elect Donald Trump and his former Democratic rival, Hillary Clinton, continue to increase, the gap is widening, with Clinton expanding her popular vote lead over Trump. According to figures released by the Associated Press on Saturday, Clinton received more than 1.5 million votes more than her Republican rival. As of Saturday, Clinton had received 63,390,669 votes, while Trump received 61,820,845 votes, a difference of 1,569,824, according to the AP. Rounded off to the whole numbers, that translates to 48% versus 47%. A day earlier on Friday, the vote difference was less, with Clinton getting 62,894,931 and Trump getting 61,580,333, a difference of 1,314,568, according to the AP. So, I mean, that electoral college thing, I mean, something got to happen. I mean, especially in the wake of Trump being elected to the presidency because of this electoral college, something is amiss and something has to be straightened out, corrected, because as is known or as I know, wrong is wrong until corrected, and or a mistake will remain a mistake until that mistake is corrected. And right now, Trump even winning the presidency, that's got to be a huge, large, big mistake. That's my opinion, honestly, actually. And also, just concerning that, him having won, I think, as I had said last week, a lot of people feel certain ways. Some feel fear. Some feel agitated. Some feel depressed. Excuse me. And as I said at that point in time, and still now, I don't know what I feel, but it's obvious that I feel something for lack of not knowing what I do feel. But anyway, I happen to have come across a word. It was the word nonplus. That's spelled N-O-N-P-L-U-S. And I have the definition for the word. I knew or thought I had the definition of the word, and actually I did, which would somewhat describe my feelings concerning this recent election. I feel, in fact, nonplussed. But having gone to my dictionary initially, I looked up the word and I was surprised by the definition that I first read. And what that definition said was nonplus, surprised and confused so much that they are unsure how to react. Of a person not disconcerted. Of a person not disconcerted. No. That's the other definition, which is what I somewhat feel. But that first definition surprised me. concerning nonplussed, surprised and confused, so much so that they are unsure how to react. But concerning that word, nonplussed, and then again, that definition, excuse me, I had gone through that particular sensation or feeling in another situation and or occasion, and that was at the workplace when a person had basically lied on me in an official document, which was a statement that she had written up. I mean, what she said, she had said that I cursed at her. Matter of fact, used a long stream of profane words towards her in the workplace. And she read this from a statement. And when she read that, at first, you know, me, her, and two other people listening. You know, we had a meeting. They were listening to what was to be said, what she had to say, what I had to say. And when she read that statement, I'm sitting there, you know, legs crossed, you know, just waiting to hear what she said. And when she read that, I was then nonplussed. I was surprised. I was confused to the point that I didn't know what to do. I mean, so much so that when she read, especially the part about how I had hurled a string of profanity at her, all I could do was jump up. And I felt like I was going to walk out the room, but I didn't know what to do. I knew I couldn't walk out the room because we are here in this meeting to find out just what's going on. And this is what I wanted to do as well, because I have something to say also once you finish saying her bullshit, basically. Anyway, I was nonplussed. I was, oh, man, I didn't know. I was nonplussed, surprised, confused, so much that I was unsure how to react. But eventually, I sat back down and then listened to the rest of her bullshit statement. And then in the end of her statement, just saying, she has said that basically because Mr. Jones, she said Mr. Jones, and because Mr. Jones used these words to me, now I feel like I'm in a hostile work environment. I was really nonplussed. But again, still concerning the word nonplussed, the other definition, which was the definition that I had in mind concerning being nonplussed, it says of a person not disconcerted, unperturbed, synonym, unruffled, unfazed, composed. And this, again, this word comes up because of the election of Donald Trump and me trying to figure out how I feel about this. Because right now, still, I don't know how the fuck I feel about him being president, but it's not good. It's not good at all. No, it's not. And this... I was surprised. That's one thing. I was surprised. Yes, I was. But I wasn't confused. No, I wasn't confused. Anyway, moving right along. Okay, moving right along. As I said, before I go into the main, well, one of the main issues of the show, as you know, normally sometimes I do read some miscellaneous issues into the show, but they are just as pertinent as I always say. But anyway, what I'm going to read into the show right now is something concerning the vice president and him having attended some play in New York entitled Hamilton. I have been hearing about this play for some time now, but never even really thought of it. But now the vice president went to see the play, and it turns out that the cast of the play, or maybe a member of the cast of the play, have some words to say to the vice president. And this is what this article pertains to. Okay, what I got here, it says that, first off, somebody named Chrissy Teigen. I never heard of her before either, but it turns out that she's some kind of model. Let me just go on and read what it says here. It says, Chrissy Teigen briefly took her Twitter account off its private setting on Saturday to unleash a Twitter storm directed at Donald Trump. Earlier this morning, the president-elect demanded that the cast of Hamilton apologize to Mike Pence, who attended the Broadway musical on Friday night and was booed by the audience and addressed by the cast from the stage after the show. This person, Chrissy Teigen, tweeted, "Wow, at real Donald Trump is right. I can't believe they would subject poor, innocent Mike Pence to such abhorrent and hate and evil hate speech," she wrote sarcastically. "Look who wants a fucking safe space now. The very thing him and his supporters make fun of as liberal political correctness. God, what a puss." But I'm going to have to halt right now because it's 15 minutes to the hour. I'm going to come back to this article after our first music break. And our first music break will be a song from Beyonce featuring Jack White entitled Don't Hurt Yourself, I guess from the album Lemonade, and we'll be right back.
Don't hurt yourself.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Beyonce featuring Jack White entitled Don't Hurt Yourself. I think it sounded kind of bluesy to me. Interesting. Anyway, back to this article about Vice President-elect Pence at the Broadway show Hamilton and the people having something to say to him. He was even booed. That's also part of the article. But I'll read that last part again before we had gone to break. It says, wow, at real Donald Trump is right. I can't believe that they would subject poor, innocent Mike Pence to such abhorrent evil hate speech, she wrote sarcastically. Look who wants a fucking safe space now. The very thing him and his supporters make fun of as liberal political correctness. God, what a puss. Then the article goes on to say that she also referred, the model and TV personality rattled off about half a dozen more tweets, than one of which she called Trump's presidency an inevitable dumpster fire. I like that. An inevitable dumpster fire. His presidency, which is bound to be. Excuse me. She also referred what has become frequently referenced backlash to the amount of attention the ordeal has gotten, that Trump is using the event at Hamilton to distract from the fact that he agreed on Friday to pay $25 million to settle a series of lawsuits against Trump University. Yeah, remember that? They were talking about that thing during the campaign. You know, if that university was a fraud or not, and it was being said then that no, da 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 da. But now he's settling for $25 million. Anyway, moving right along, the article goes further to say, and this is in quotes: Donald knows very well what he is doing. He knows the Hamilton speech was NBD. I'm not sure what NBD means. I'd have to ask some of my Facebook friends about that. It goes further to say he knows his tweet will fire both sides up to distract from the $25 million settlement of yesterday. Most conniving, and then she says, most conniving human on planet Earth. Yes, I agree with that. He is conniving because he's slimy. He's basically a crook, a trickster, a con man. Yes. And then I didn't know this here, but the article went further to say that Tegan is married to John Legend. I didn't know that. like I said, I never heard of her before. But anyway, but I have heard of John Legend. He's that guy whom I say can't really sing, but some people say he can sing. But God bless him. But he writes, well, I understand that he wrote many songs to many people. Anyway, the article goes further to say that other celebrities have also insinuated that they suspect Penn's trip to see Hamilton was used intentionally as a distraction. Actually, in my opinion, Trump himself is a distraction. I've always thought that throughout the whole campaign, which also I was thinking that he wasn't going to win. I thought he was just a distraction to allow Hillary Clinton to win. But, well, he won. Anyway, moving right along. I got another article here still on this Vice President Pence presence at that theater. This is from a legend news reporter, Dan Rather. Well, legendary news reporter. This article says here that Dan Rather just savaged Trump for Hamilton freakout. It says legendary reporter Dan Rather took to Facebook today, addressed the brouhaha surrounding Mike Pence's attendance at the Hamilton musical, where the cast delivered a polite and powerful message to the religious extremists. Yeah, I've been hearing that through some of my Facebook friends, that this guy, this vice president-elect, is a religious nut, basically, a religious extremist. If they say he's a religious extremist, more so than not, he's a religious nut. But anyway, it goes further to say that Donald Trump, our potential president, embarked on a late-night tweet storm in which he took cheap shots at the cast and complained about the mistreatment of his vice president. Rather had some extremely important points to make about Trump's famously thin skin and his childish inability to let any slight, real or imagined, go unchallenged. Rather slammed him for being a bully and demanded that he begin even pretending to behave like a president should. The article goes further to say that Dan says, bullies are often thin-skinned, quick to overreact when challenged, and undone when people are no longer afraid to speak truth to their face. Great presidents are almost always the opposite in all those categories. Reflecting on Donald Trump's complete overreaction to a statement made at the end of a performance at Broadway's Hamilton, an American musical, I couldn't help but think, doesn't this man have more important things to worry about? Hasn't the theater long been a stage for political art? And isn't this man, who broke so many norms as a candidate, insulted so many people, individually and as groups, that he now has the nerve to demand an apology when he never gave one himself? I know, the article goes further to say, I know there are many who say that this incident shouldn't be blown out of proportion. Yes, when compared to cabinet posts or paying out $25 million in a fraud case against Trump University, a tweet maybe might not seem that important, but being president is to have every word you uttered scrutinized. And these words are intimidating and unfitting of the office of the presidency. But more importantly, they show a real weakness of vanity and small-mindedness that our enemies abroad will likely look to exploit. I can also imagine that Trump's political foes at home are noticing once again how easily he can be rattled. I imagine this is not the last we will see of these kinds of incidents. That's what Dan Rather has said. And let's see, there was something in that article that had stuck out to me. Well, no, I'll move right along on to another article about that situation. And this is from a Fox News host, Jeanine Pirro. Jeanine Pirro, I met her once. Well, not personally, but anyway, I met her in a courtroom setting because at one point she was the district attorney of the county that I live in, a county called Westchester County here in New York. She was the district attorney at one point of that particular county. And at that point in time, would have to have seen her. She was officiating at a trial of a off-duty police officer who has shot and killed a black guy over a parking space. It's more involved than that, but that was the first time I had seen Jeanine Pirro. But I have more to say about her later after I read this article here. still about the vice president and the Hamilton play situation, where when he was booed and then a member of the cast has some words for him. Okay, this article says here that Fox News host Jeanine Pirro blasted the cast of Hamilton over the weekend after one of the black actors told Vice President-elect Mike Pence that Americans feared their rights would not be protected under Donald Trump's presidency. After the curtain call Friday night, actor Brandon Victor Dixon was seen telling the future vice president that he hoped this show has inspired you to uphold American values and to work on behalf of all of us. On Saturday, Pirro was seething with rage when she delivered her opening statement on her Fox News program. She said, this is in quotes from Jeanine Pirro, "What happened in that theater one block from this studio was an out-and-out reverse racism." She says, was outright reverse racism and teed up hate, she exclaimed. Reverse racism. Anyway, Pirro accused the actors using a play about our American history as a political bully pulpit. The Fox News host then played a portion of Dixon's comments to Pence and wondered why the actor never lectured Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama when they attended the production. I mean, these people are so, well, those Republicans, they are so, how can I put it, one-sided. It's like they only see one side of an issue. Only one side. They don't see the other side. Or they don't see the extending side. Because as I've come to know, there are, in fact, three sides to every issue. Your side, my side, and the right side. But like with these Republican people, they only see their side. Anyway, the article goes further to say that last night, she says, this is in quotes, "Last night violates everything that you say that you stand for," she charged. You're Hamiltonians, you're students of American history. Why not hip hop about the Electoral College? Or is that the part of the Constitution that you just want to ignore? And she says, "And I've got news for you. Don't lecture this man. You may know a little about hip-hop and dancing around a stage. I majored in American history, and I saw the play, Hamilton, and I loved it," she concluded. "But you just took the fun, the enjoyment, and the memory of that play right out of me. Which might explain why the number one hashtag that's trending right now, boycott Hamilton. Hashtag boycott Hamilton." Yeah, I mean, going back to something she said there about reverse racism. I mean, that's a strange phrase. It's strange because it don't mean nothing. It's strange because basically it's a contrived phrase that's supposed to mean something, but really means nothing. But however, a lot of people use that phrase. Well, white people in particular, they use that phrase. A case in point, I was talking with someone just yesterday, and matter of fact, he's a mail person. He works through the post office. And also being that like I work in a mail room there at the VA where I do work at the Veterans Hospital, he comes there also. And it's another town completely. And therefore, I was surprised to have seen him here in my town where I live at. And he and I were talking, and like we were talking about, you know, people who do work where they work, which is what they should do, and people who don't work where they work. And he has said something about a guy who does work there, but he doesn't do anything there, and nothing is done to him. And then he mentioned the postmaster who is there. And he said that in his opinion, because all the work is pushed off onto himself, he feels that he's being discriminated against and therefore it's reverse racism. He says that maybe at the place where this postmaster had worked. She may have dealt with some blacks there and wanted to jam them up for not working. I shouldn't even use the phrase jam them up for not working, but, you know, do her job in terms of somebody not working, which is to write them up or get rid of them if possible. But anyway, he said that maybe she had that situation wherein she went to, you know, press charges against someone not working. That's probably the wrong phrase, but you all get what I'm saying. And she probably got in trouble by doing that. And that now she's at another postal facility and seeing someone not working. Therefore, now she chooses not to do anything about this person. And therefore, he said that because of that, all the work is being pushed onto him. And he said that this is reverse racism. I didn't argue with him. I changed the subject quickly. You know, I changed the subject. But he called that reverse racism. That's not reverse racism. That's just stupidity. That's what that is. And or a lack of that postmaster doing what he or she should do concerning a person who is in their facility and not working as they should be working. And they are like, you know, the person in charge, the boss. But he called it reverse racism. But anyway, still, on this Jeanine Pirro person, like I said, after I had read that article from a Facebook friend's timeline, I had written this. I had said, she's a former district attorney of Westchester County. She prosecuted the case of an off-duty police person, Richard DiGuglielmo, I probably mispronounced that seriously, who shot and killed Charles Campbell. The incident occurred over a parking space in Dobbs Ferry, New York, back in 1996. Primarily, based upon her office having gotten a conviction against that cop, I had thought she was a Democrat until she joined the staff of Fox News. That was when I read up on her. Thus, I was surprised she was a Republican. I can't stand seeing her now. She's disgusting with her vile ideas and views. And I said further, I attended some of that trial, neither here or there, but she's about 4 feet tall, if 4 feet. At the trial's end, the off-duty cop was sentenced 20 years to life. He won an appeal and was set free after serving 12 or more years of that sentence, but his appeal was overturned in 2010. He's back in prison serving the remainder of the sentence. Eligible for parole in 2019, the victim, Charles Campbell, gets no parole or reprieve from the grave. Yeah, Jeanine Pirro. I mean, outrageous. I mean, it's just saying, it's a wonder hearing her talk as she talked about this vice president being booed and a cast member of the play Hamilton, you know, saying what he said to the vice president. It wasn't rude what he said. He was just, you know, voicing the fears of many Americans at the election of Donald Trump. That's all. But a lot of people, again, you know, they want to take issue with this, and I guess because Donald Trump said something, which is what he does. He just says stuff. Don't make no sense. And then again, all of a sudden, it's news all over the media. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. But again, concerning, you know, charges and allegations against him, these things are rarely spoken of, if at all. I mean, really. But also, just saying, because I have seen that this model, I forget her name already, because like I said, what's her name? I got it here, Chrissy Teigen, because she had written there at Donald Trump. That's his Twitter handle. You know, I went on his Twitter page, and this is what I wrote on his Twitter page. I said, they were very rude, eh? grabbing women by the pussy isn't rude at all. Let you tell it. And then I wrote further, like Obama shouting at old man. I couldn't say the whole thing because Twitter only allows you so many characters to express whatever you're trying to say. But anyway, in reference to that, like Obama shouting at old man, I was talking about what he has said before the election when Obama was at a political rally speaking for Hillary Clinton on behalf of Hillary Clinton, and some old man got up and started shouting whatever he was shouting. And Obama, you know, he spoke to the old man directly. He wasn't shouting at him. He even addressed this older person respectfully, called him a veteran because this guy had on some kind of army jacket or maybe had on an army uniform completely. I'm not sure which, I kind of forget. But anyway, he even addressed the old man's veteran status. Obama even addressed the man's age. And I think he even addressed his political persuasion, you know, let him express himself. But yet let Donald Trump tell his supporters at a Donald Trump rally, he told the people that Obama was shouting at some old man. I mean, really, talk about exaggeration. That's not even exaggeration. That's just lying, basically. But that's Trump. That's Trump and his followers and most of the media also. That's another issue. But also, I also wrote on his Twitter page, because, yes, I did. I said, This I wrote. I said, he's not president yet, so I say, fuck Trump, racist bastard, him and all the other races he's so beautifully proud of. I use the word beautifully because he likes using that word. I talk about a beautiful wall. You know, the phrases that he likes to use. It's going to be great. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be lovely. Like he's talking to some woman somewhere and trying to get something. You know, idiot. MF and buffoon. Anyway, moving right along, another issue that I wanted to have brought up, I have wanted to have brought this issue up last week. You all may have heard about it. It concerns, wait a minute, I have overtalked the music break, so we're going to have to go there or back up so we can go into this music break. And this is going to be a song, no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say because this person is part of our playlist, and I'm not going to say anything, not exactly. But I'm trying to find a song to play right now, and wait a minute. Let me let this thing stop scrolling down. Let me let it stop. Okay, this is going to be from Rihanna, entitled "Bitch Better Have My Money." Unfortunately, she had to call the song that, but that's the name of it, from Rihanna, "Bitch Better Have My Money." And here we go.
Pay me what you want it.
Welcome back to Andy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Rihanna entitled Bitch Better Have My Money. That's the title of it. Anyway, before we had gone to the music break, I was talking about the next article that I was going to read here. I had to stop there for this article. Yes. I hope that's what I was going to. I may have been saying something different, but nevertheless, time is passing, so let us move right along. Anyway, I don't know, but you all may have been hearing. Yes, this is what I was on. You all may have been hearing about this safety pin thing coming to the fore, coming up due to Trump being elected president, having won the election. Because it's a possibility. Well, it's a hopeful possibility, but, you know, like, dreams, hopes, or what dreams are made of, or dreams and hopes, they're like synonymous. But anyway, I'm saying that to say that they're talking about the Electoral College might come December. I forget the exact date, but they might make Hillary Clinton the president after all. You know, they might have some electors who may become what they call faithless electors and decide to give it to Hillary based upon the popular vote situation. I mean, I really wouldn't want her president either, but I didn't vote for her, number one, but she'd be better than Donald Trump. That's a damn sure. Matter of fact, I voted for Jill Stein. I don't mind saying whom I voted for, but I know a lot of people, they want their votes to be to themselves. But I don't mind that. But some people don't vote at all. But then again, to me, that's their prerogative. I mean, we have the right to vote, and that's not a force issue. But like a lot of people, from what I find, talking about issues, especially political issues, social issues, things that are going wrong. And you may be talking to someone about this and, you know, talking about it, you know, correctly and making valid points. But then you have this kind of person who will all of a sudden just throw in the conversation, did you vote? And then now you got to stop saying what you were saying or stop making the point, what you were making a point on, and then answer this silly-ass question about if you voted or not by saying yay or nay. And the thing is, from what I found about these people, if you say no, then that's a conversational shutdown, because that person will tell you quickly, well, you didn't vote, you ain't got a right to complain. That's BS. In my opinion, that is BS. That's just like some people talk about, well, if you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, you didn't really vote, and or if you didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, you voted for Donald Trump. Again, that's BS. Both. I mean, because they say, okay, if you didn't vote in this election, you voted for Trump. How can you vote for Trump if you didn't vote at all? But see, that's some kind of psychological political madness, if you ask me. If you didn't vote, then you vote for the person that you didn't vote for? And then again, if you might vote for a person other than the two people how can I put it? Then again, if you didn't vote for either of the two people who are establishment candidates, then your vote is for either of the people who are running, depending upon who the person you're talking to is for or against. It don't make no MFing sense, but yet you got people who talk like that. So again, a vote is a vote. And like I say, I voted for Jill Stein. That's who I voted for, because primarily what she was saying appealed to me. And what she was saying, I would like to hope to see. But like what Trump was saying, F Trump, number one. And what Hillary was saying, heard that nonsense before. It's the same old, same old. We need something different. Yeah. But anyway, see, I got sidetracked. But anyway, I'm back on the issue of this safety pin thing. As I was saying, you know, you all may have heard people talking about wear a safety pin. Well, not everybody, but I guess white people in particular wear a safety pin to show that they didn't vote for Trump or that they are not like those who did vote for Trump. Anyway, I got an article here. Matter of fact, I got two articles here. One, anyway, I'll just go on and read them. The first article is entitled, Dear White People, Your Safety Pins Are Embarrassing. And it's from some person named Christopher Kelly. He wrote this on 12 November. He says, seriously, this is a thing now. No, and that's a question mark. Seriously, question mark. This is a thing now, question mark. Wear a safety pin to show you are an ally, question mark. So immigrants, people of color, LGBTQ people, and others who were targeted and persecuted and further marginalized by the Trump campaign will know that they're safe with you? No. Just no. Please take it off. Let me explain, the article goes further to say. Let me explain something, white people. We just fucked up. Bad. We elected a racist demagogue who has promised to do serious harm to almost every person who isn't a straight white male and whose rhetoric has already stirred up the hate crimes nationwide. White people were 70% of the voters in the 2016 election and were the only demographic Trump won. It doesn't matter why. What matters is there's a white nationalist moving into the Oval Office, and white people, only white people, put him there. We don't get to make ourselves feel better by putting on safety pins and self-designating ourselves as allies. Marginalized people know full well the long history of white people calling themselves allies while doing nothing to help. Remember the white guys in the 1770s who wrote all about freedom and equality and inalienable rights? Remember how they owned and sold slaves? Also, you know who is going to be out wearing safety pins like crazy? Trump voters. Possibly. I know, you're uncomfortable. You feel guilty. You think people are going to suspect you of being a racist, and you want some way to assuage that guilt and reassure your neighbors that you're one of the good ones. But you know what? You don't get to do that. You need to sit in your own guilt right now. You need to feel bad. So do I. So do all of us. We fucked up. We didn't do enough to change the minds of our fellow white people. We unfriended them instead of confronting them. We looked the other way or laughed uncomfortably when our aunts and cousins made racist comments. We were content then to be one of the good ones. And now we want congratulations, but we fucked up. And now other people are going to pay the price. Because guess what? Even if you aren't a racist, you still benefit from racism. I'm a white guy with money. This isn't going to hurt me much. Yet, I'm bisexual and therefore subject to some of the threats against marginalized groups. But it's highly unlikely I'm going to be told I'm not American or picked up by ICE and held in detention until I'm deported or beaten or executed by police who decide my existence presents a threat to their safety. For the most part, I'll go about my daily life the way I always have, and if I want to, I could put a safety pin on my shirt and congratulate myself for being so woke, for being one of the good ones. He goes further to say, if you really need some way to show your support, if you just can't bear to sit in your discomfort for even a little bit longer, here's my suggestion. Instead of doing the thing white people invented to make ourselves feel better, follow the example of the people from the marginalized communities you want to support. I recommend carry a big sign. You can make your own. It's easy. On the sign you write in big bold letters, Black Lives Matter. And hey, If you want, you can use your safety pin to fix it to your shirt. That's what that guy wrote concerning the safety pin sensation, or should we say the safety pin movement. How outrageous, but hey, people do things. You might say to make sense, or what? I guess to make sense, yes, but it don't make no sense. It's just like that, well, that other thing that white people did, come up with the phrase reverse racism, same thing. Anyway, moving right along, I have this other article, and it also pertains to the safety pin thing. But this I got from a Facebook friend's timeline also, and, well, I'll just read it, then I might say something on it after I finish reading it. And this was written by somebody named Loretta Donnellan. She writes here, someone noticed my safety pin. This was written 18 November, a day or two ago. She says, my Monday, on the safety pin issue now, she says, my Monday started out great. I woke up and put on my safety pin, feeling proud to project a tiny, teeny symbol of allyship to all the people of color, LGBTQ folk, and women who, if they squinted really hard, could see that I'm here for them. It was only when I got on the subway that the unthinkable happened. Someone actually noticed my safety pin. The article goes on to say, there I was, minding my own business as two young white men sat on either side of an older Latina woman and had a loud conversation about how she needs to go back to her own country. I didn't want to intervene without knowing all the facts. They could have all been friends sharing an inside joke, or it could have been a piece of performance, art. I have promised on Facebook to use my privilege to support those threatened by Trump presidency, but I hadn't promised to be a mind reader. It was then, or more so, it was when they started shouting, Trump, 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 that the woman glanced in panic around the train car and apparently saw my safety pin. I was like, what? You can actually see that thing? At that moment, everything was clear to me. The $240 sterling silver Unity brooch I bought 2 days earlier was not just a symbol of my theoretical support. It was an actual beacon of hope for those in need. Why didn't anybody tell me I would maybe have to do something? When the woman who was still being yelled at murmured, please, while looking directly at me, I was wondering why she picked me out of the crowd. Then I realized, oh my God, the safety pin. How did she even see it when it was so small? So I screwed up my courage and said, come on, guys, very quietly to the men. They called me a bitch, but they stood up and got off at the next stop. Talk about tense. I had no idea that something like that could happen to me. And when I finally got to work, lo and behold, my boss said, why are you wearing that pin? And asked me if I supported all that Black Lives Matter bullshit. How was I supposed to know that this tiny marker for social justice would require me to have a conversation about social justice? Just ask any of my friends. I hate confrontation. Since I was feeling really tired that day and just didn't want to deal, I threw my gem-encrusted symbol of safety in my desk drawer to save for another day when I was feeling more up to it. Do I have any regrets? A little bit, but at the end of the day, I had no idea how much this symbolic gesture of progressive solidarity would actually require me to do something about it. That's interesting. But my Facebook friend, she happened to have been Dr. Stacy Patton. She had written after that, you know, she said, I hope this is satire. And it turned out that somebody who knows that particular website, they had informed us that, yes, it was satire. But then I had also wrote on that thread that, as a nephew of mine had once said, in a real sense, It's the truth in jokes that makes jokes funny. So no doubt there are some people wearing that safety pin, and people who know about this, when they are being accosted by Trump bullies, they look at that person like, hey, aren't you going to say something? And they're like, oh, my God. They'd be like, oh, my God. They really expect me to do something? Is it me wearing this pin enough? God, really? Outrageous. But anyway, again, as usual, I have overtalked the allotted time. I'm going to have to stop now and go into our next music break. And right now we're going to hear a song from, let me scroll down here. We're going to hear the song from Beyonce entitled Formation. Actually, I think this is my first time hearing this song, although I have heard so much about it. I didn't see it when she first did it at that football stadium. I don't really watch football, but I heard about it via Facebook. So this is Beyonce, her song or her jam entitled Formation. Here we go, and we'll be right back.
Bama, I'm a baby hair with baby hands. I like my name.
Welcome back to Andy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard a song from Beyonce entitled Formation. And I'm hoping that it was heard. I'm saying that because I'll say that I could barely hear it myself trying to listen to it here. So I hope that you all did hear it out there. That was the song from Beyonce entitled Formation. Yes. So moving right along, I hope you all enjoyed that last article, especially the satire one about the safety fence. I had to laugh when I read that with my damn self. But anyway, moving right along, we're going to now go into one of the actual topics of the show entitled Nat Turner, Birth of a Nation, the film, which is about the life of Nat Turner, I would imagine. Anyway, let's get this article here straight here. I got an article here that says, of course, I've had it for a while now, just hadn't gotten to it. This article here says that the story behind Birth of a Nation, director Nate Parker's 1999, all right, let me back up a bit, okay? It says here that the story behind Birth of a Nation director Nate Parker's 1999 college rape trial has taken an even more disturbing turn as more details continue to emerge from the court proceedings. Parker's film, which he wrote, directed, produced, and starred in, is a dramatization of Nat Turner's famous 1831 slave revolt and was considered an early Oscar favorite after earning rave reviews and an unprecedented $17 million deal at the Sundance Film Festival. But the acclaim has been overshadowed by his involvement in the 1999 rape case, thrust back into the spotlight after recent reports surfaced that Parker's accuser had committed suicide in 2012 at age 30. Okay, this article here that I have is primarily about that particular situation, the involvement with this guy Parker and his roommate and that woman who's unfortunately deceased at this point. The rape allegation stems from there. And the article talks much about that, but I don't necessarily want to go into that. But I will say that this article is entitled, Nate Parker Told Rape Accuser, You Put Yourself in That Situation. And by him having said that, that didn't help his situation at all. But the thing is, though, a lot of people, no, I won't go there just yet. Let me read something else here, another article that I have still concerning the Birth of a Nation film and Nate Parker and some things that people have said about it. Okay, this comes from a person named Sarah Stewart, and she's Caucasian, and she writes here, Why I Refuse to See the Birth of a Nation. The article here starts off by saying, the Nat Turner story is a vitally important part of American history. Everyone should know it. They said, I'm skipping the birth of a nation. No, everyone should know it that said, I'm skipping the birth of a nation. What she's saying that everyone should know is that it is a vital part of American history. And she goes further to say, earlier this year, it came to light that director, writer, and star Nate Parker and his co-writer, Gene Celestine, were accused of raping a fellow student at Penn State in 1999. Celestine was convicted of sexual assault, a charge that was overturned on appeal for a new trial in 2005, which never happened because prosecutors said they wouldn't be able to reassemble witnesses. Excuse me. Parker was acquitted, but the facts remain on the record. Both had sex the same night with a very intoxicated woman who later dropped out of school. In 2012, she kills herself. The article goes further to say, in an Ebony interview, Parker admitted he'd done some soul searching, stopping short of apologizing to the woman's family. He dialed it further back on 60 Minutes, saying, I was vindicated. And in a more recent interview with Steve Harvey, he blamed the media for unearthing the rape case, then congratulated himself for bringing up the issue of sexual violence, which no one is talking about. And she said there that you need to go out more, Nate, as if people are talking about it, but you're just not hearing about it because you don't go out much. Anyway, the article goes further to say that it's not just Parker I can't stomach. I haven't seen a Woody Allen film since 2012's To Roam with Love. Roman Polanski has been off my list for many years. After the video came out this summer showing a drunk Johnny Depp hurling verbal abuse at then-wife Amber Heard. I doubt I'll see his next movie either. We live in a culture where rapists and abusers routinely get away with their crimes or do next to no time. We don't need to actively reward men who prey on women and take no responsibility for it by giving them lucrative Hollywood gigs. So I'll wait for another take on the Nat Turner story. Who knows? Maybe it'll come from a female director next time. That's what was said from this woman about the Birth of a Nation, the film that this guy Nate Parker did on the Nat Turner Rebellion. It makes one wonder. But I'm going to continue reading from another article that that I have here. This article here was entitled Birth of a Nation Flop, Black Americans, You Fell for the Dirt Distraction. Let me read that again. The article is entitled Birth of a Nation Flop, Black Americans, You Fell for the Dirt Distraction. And this article starts off here by saying, Birth of a Nation Flop, Black America, You Fell for the Dirty Distraction, posted on 12/10/2016, I guess 12 October 2016. Facebook, Twitter, Google, Birth of a Nation was sent to be the pro-black movie of the year. What happened? Black America happened. We allowed media to distract us with Nate's past. For one, many blacks haven't understood the significance of this movie in the first place. Many people who claim to be woke say, I want to know about the slaves who actually fought back. We always hear about the ones who were beat. Y'all are just talking from the looks of Birth of a Nation's earnings in the box office. It's all just a second. Okay. So here he said, you all are just talking from the looks of Birth of a Nation's earnings in the box office. It's all just talk. This movie is about that very thing, the slaves who fought back. Yet the theaters were nearly empty. Where were all of these woke people? Well, along with the rest of social media and celebrity gossip media, many were too busy slandering Nate Parker's name. And before you come with that I don't support rapists BS, if you're a Lakers fan, you were still waiting for Kobe to get on that court, right? I bet you got that... He says, I bet you got that ass first in line for the next R. Kelly album. Yeah. It surely doesn't stop you from dancing and singing along to Billie Jean when it comes on Pandora, correct? So cut the bull and own that you got duped by those who didn't want you to receive the message Nate Parker was sending. You'll always miss the message while concentrating on the messenger. And another thing, here's what you really didn't know. Another reason this movie is so important is because it opposed the 1915 version of Birth of a Nation, the one that glorified the birth of the KKK. You know, the opposition to the slaves who fought back. Many probably didn't know any of this because the media chose to drag up dirt on the movie's creator in order to undermine the effect it could have on black masses. They kicked dirt in your face, and you didn't have your goggles ready. So it got in your eyes and was hard to wash out, while the 1950 movie focuses on the savior of the white population, as notes Internet Movie Database. Parker's version focuses on birth of Black America, the same ones who didn't show up to support the movie. This is funny. It's amazing that regardless all the scandals involving NWA, its members, and its affiliates, Straight Outta Compton was one of the blockbuster hits of 2015. It's definitely interesting to see where the priorities and biases lay. You can talk pro-black and woke all day long. However, where you spend your money shows where your value sets. According to Vulture, Nate raised $10 million to create Birth of a Nation, and he spent $100 million of his own money, or $100,000 of his own money as well. And you can stop, and you can't spend $10 to go see the other half of the story, which history class. Wait, let me read that again. It says here, Nate raised $10 million to create Birth of a Nation, and he spent $100,000 of his own money as well. And you can't spend $10 to go see the other half of the story, which history classes refuses to tell you. Excuses, says hashtag excuses. And then, you know what, and I have to agree with this person here when they ask the question concerning this guy, Nate Parker. Such as, why wasn't this rape issue brought up when he was in that movie Red Tails? And then he was in another movie called Nonstop, and another movie called Beyond the Lights, or The Great Debaters, and now hashtag Birth of a Nation. But you know, just saying, that's a valid question. How come this rape situation wasn't brought up during all those other movies that he made? Anyway, this guy Nate Parker, when I began to see who he was, he looked familiar to me. I'm thinking, now where have I seen that guy before? I'm thinking, well, he directed this movie, and then I'm thinking, but I've seen him elsewhere. And then I remembered he was in that movie, The Great Debaters. He was one of the debaters that, well, long story, but he was one of the student debaters in that movie. Yeah, because he looked familiar to me. I hadn't known that he was a director also. But anyway, yes. I mean, where were all these people with this rape allegation at that point in time? It must be because he made this movie in particular about Nat Turner, a revolutionary black person who happened to have been a slave and was tired of being enslaved and felt the need, the necessity to do something about his enslavement and those who were around him. He talked to people, got them involved, and they did what they did. But moving right along, I haven't seen the movie yet either, but eventually I probably will. But moving right along, I had written this in response to that guy having written that article. I had written, what black Americans is he referring to? The ones who'd watch this movie, or the ones who are busy fighting the master and slave mentalities of this day? I'm going to read this article now. Maybe I'll then find out. The caption just caught me. Then, too, it was like reading the caption this morning of an article about Beyonce performing and or finishing her performance while bleeding. Now, being a man and reading that caption, what would I be thinking about where Beyonce would be bleeding from? Surely, the caption of the article on Beyonce was misleading, or basically subjective, not objective, and certainly not clear. It turned out upon reading the article, Beyonce was bleeding from a mishap she had when her hair was caught in her earring. But really, I recall that article. Long story, they talk about Beyonce, she finished her performance even while bleeding. Naturally, I thought she was on her period and she finished her. The article was totally misleading. Anyway, that's what I had written in response to that. I had asked the question, what black America is he referring to? Yeah. But anyway, still moving right along. Another Facebook friend, she had responded to that post that I posted on my timeline. She had said, The movie didn't do well in theaters opening weekend, even though the reviews are great. I've even heard several Caucasian folks say how excellent the movie was. Then I replied to that by saying, I'm like and unlike many of us. I don't look forward to seeing movies of us enslaved. I'm currently reading the autobiography of Frederick Douglass. Then I wrote, I reread of the murder of Bill Denby. Bill was a slave, black man, killed by Austin Gore, overseer, a white man. What was Denby's crime? Being black. I couldn't help but equate the murder of Denby to that that's happening today, with the murder of so many of us by police and nothing is done to the murderer. The guy, Austin Gore, was a kind of police person in the sense that he was invested with authority by the slave system and or governmental system of that place and time. So yes, I'm like those of us who'd rather read a book about our ancestors' enslavement and those who fought against that inhumane system of government. No eagerness on my part to see this movie. I'll wait till it's on Netflix or some other medium. And then my Facebook friend has said, my thoughts exactly, and believe loads of others. In these days and times, it's really unsafe for us to gather in large. She said, in these days and times, it's really unsafe for us to gather in large masses to watch movies like these. Because she thinks that some dumb stuff, some guy, some racist lunatic might come in with an AK-47 and start blasting. I guess that's part of her mindset. Anyway, I replied by saying, another mode of thinking about our situation in this country. Interesting thought. One of these terroristic crazed racist white people wanting to pull a Dowden Roof or a Birmingham church bombing. Put nothing past these crazed racist beast-minded persons. And then she says, nothing at all past them. That is exactly what detoured me from going and seeing the movie. I'm not too keen on theaters anymore. And then I had also said that I read the article. I said, this article didn't say much other than what's already been said about seeing or not seeing this movie. I'm not one who fits this author's analysis. In my opinion, I'd suggest the movie itself is a distraction, not Nate Parker. Or truth be told, he and his movie was and is a distraction. I say that because there's really no telling why he came up or came out with this movie anyway, this guy, Nate Parker, why he did this movie on Nat Turner and called it Birth of a Nation. It sounds so, one word would be incongruent. I mean, what's the relationship with Nat Turner's Rebellion and the Birth of a Nation and talking about something that happened way back in the 1830s and the Birth of a Nation, the birth of Black America? That's not when Black America was birthed, so to speak, but that's another issue. But Nate Parker, I wonder why he did the movie anyway, but maybe just to tell a historical story. Maybe. I don't know. But moving right along, I have this other article here that says, but I see now that time is passing. God bless for that. But anyway, I'm not going to finish another article that I do have on the Nate Parker situation and or the Nat Turner happening, because I have pulled up some stuff on the internet also to further enlighten us about just who Nat Turner is or was. For those of us who may have never heard of Nat Turner until Nate Parker has come up with this film about Nathaniel Turner. Anyway, this article here is about this by someone named Bridget Todd, and it says, "Yes, Petty Black Feminists Ruined Birth of a Nation." That's the title of the article. Petty Black Feminists Ruin Birth of a Nation. And it starts off by saying, we did it, y'all. Now, I know that some of my black feminist sisters weren't on board after we picked Nate Parker as our newest takedown target. But I'm pleased to announce that after much scheming and planning, black feminists have finally succeeded in shutting down Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation. Praise be to Audre Lorde. When I heard the news that Nate Parker's Birth of a Nation was a giant flop with both critics and the box office, I laughed heartily to myself while I lovingly stroked my copy of this bridge called my back that I keep next to my jar of male tears. I'm so thrilled to have another wind under our belt. If people only knew all the scheming it took for us black feminists to build a time machine, use it to inception our way into Nate Parker's thoughts and force him to sabotage his own film through shitty screenwriting, they'd be in awe of the power we wield. Yes, we're really good. That good. Look around. Obviously, we black women are drunk off the power of that. Let me start that again. Look around. Obviously, we black women are drunk off the power that comes when controlling every aspect of society. Haven't you ever wondered why black women are in charge of virtually every political, financial, and social institution in America? Haven't you ever wondered why Hollywood roles always go to black women and why most of our media is directed and produced by black women? Now, I know what you're thinking. Since when have black women had such firm control over America? Let me read that part again. Now, I know what you're thinking. Since when have black women had such firm control over America? I thought white men basically ran everything. You only think that because it's what we want you to think. She says, then real G's move in silence like lasagna. I heard some rapper use that phrase. Matter of fact, a friend of mine had to explain that to me because real G's move like the G in lasagna. I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's no G in lasagna. But I think it is, but the G is silent somehow or another. Whatever. Anyway, the article goes further to say, we even had our black feminist double agents working on discrediting the film from the inside. I hate to put her on blast, but Birth co-star Gabriella Union is one of us. I support you if you don't want to see the film. I absolutely understand and respect that. I can't sell the film, she told Essence, for her brave display for loyalty to black feminism. Gabriella will be moving up the ranks of leadership, and one day she might even get to pick our next target. We have sleeper cells, she's saying. This person here, she must be a black feminist, a saboteur. She says, we have sleeper cells all over the country. We're everywhere, lurking, planning, waiting, watching. We can destroy everything you built with a single tweet. Don't test us. Nate Parker found out the hard way. Other than destroying the nuclear family and ensuring NBC never has black male ownership, nothing fills our black feminist hearts with more joy than crushing the dreams and souls of successful men. We can and will ruin you in service of our own petty whims, so you'd better think twice about your behavior, because today is Nate Parker, but tomorrow it could be you. And just saying, like a lot of people, Facebook friends, I got a lot of Facebook friends. Yes, I do. I heard a lot of my Facebook women friends talking about the film that Nate Parker did, and then by extension also talking about the rape. I almost want to say rape allegation, but I don't know what it was. But like I said, they would also talk about the rape that happened too, and therefore, you know, they felt, you know, because of the rape culture of this country, or more so because of the mindset against women, that Nate Parker, he, I guess, more should have been done to him than what wasn't done to him. Excuse me. But I was just told that we only have a few seconds left. So I'm going to come back to this article next week and continue with the other articles that we didn't get into. Not next week, but like I said, I'm going to be off next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday situation. But when I return, which will be on the 4th of December, on a Sunday, so you all be here and be ready to roll with me, so to speak. So we're going to go out with a song here, and this is going to be from, from Sheree Lire called Mirage. And you all have a good night till next week and enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. Don't eat too much, but eat enough. Have a good night.
He told me I can't.